Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Which means Jackson forgot to get his instrument. All right, welcome back to GGB Sports, episode 55. That. I think everybody knows now, anyway. Coppin State at Wagner. And, well, we got a few other things. Now, before we actually get to our reviews, one of the things that's going to affect GGB going forwards, of course, is you're playing baseball now as well. So I know you went to tryouts the other day. I deliberately didn't go to tryouts. I took you last year. I let Mommy take you this year. I took Mason to his lacrosse game that he had to get to. So tell me a little bit about practice then. What sort of stuff do you have to do? How did it go? Did you see anybody you recognize from last year?
It was kind of the same when you brought me. We warmed up on field one. Switched over to field two, batting, did some fielding, that stuff, running time.
Pop-ups, ground out, ground balls?
No. It was kind of just like,
throwing
we did
to each
shortstop,
other.
Throw to first.
Okay.
Then we did like home plate to first base.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Then hitting.
Kind of important. Yeah. Yeah, I remember them doing that now, actually. Yeah.
They gave us a Gatorade bottle with three packets.
Okay.
I used one of the packets.
Okay. That was a nice one.
Yeah.
Did you get the Dick's Sporting Goods voucher?
No.
That probably comes in the mail later. We always get one of those each year. It's like 20% off Dick's for like a week or something, so everyone can go buy their equipment. So I think we already had one, actually, earlier in the year.
Wait, didn't we? I saw a few people from my last team.
Uh-huh.
Didn't we buy some cleats for me with it?
Probably. We probably put it towards it last year, because you needed.
I think we got trout cleats.
I think you might be right.
Also, my school bag, I figured out, is a baseball bag.
Oh, it is? So it's not just a backpack?
Yeah, I saw somebody using it as, a baseball bag.
Huh, okay.
But I use it as my school bag.
Yeah.
Because I have a big catcher's bag that can hold everything.
Yeah. Yeah, so did you have to do any catching, or was it just the regular?
No, it was just regular.
And did you have to do any pitching?
No.
So that'll probably be. I'm kind of surprised you didn't have to do any pitching, because teams are going to want pitchers.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Perhaps at this stage.
You're
moving up to AAA this year, so they're probably
only. You could either go majors or minors.
Okay.
Or stay in the minors.
Well, it might have been different age groups, but you're AAA.
Yeah.
Because you were AA last time, and you missed half the season with an injury. So, yes, I don't think you need to be advancing two steps at once. All right, okay. I'm not sure when your games start. I know we're coming up to spring break right now. They don't normally do anything over spring break because they know people travel. But certainly going forwards, we might have to try to do like we did last year. Basically, you normally have a game on a Saturday, and then we try to see the Coppin game on the Sunday, if we could. It's not always possible. Sometimes you might have games Friday night, and then we have the option. And if it's like an early game, like 9 o'clock in the morning, then we can always do that and then travel up to the game. In fact, last year, I remember, we actually went to tryouts and then traveled up to the Coppin game. Mm-hmm. It must have been like a morning tryout, because you still had your number pinned onto your back.
Yeah, we put it on our front.
Yeah, yep.
I remember that because I had my glove that day because of tryouts, so I brought it to the stadium.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like cold and windy that day?
I don't remember. I just remember. It wouldn't surprise me.
I think it was.
It was March, so.
I think. I think that one I was thinking of was in the start of February. It was like one of the.
Oh, the game we went to in February was definitely cold and windy. That's for.
Yeah.
That's for sure. All right, let's start off with the first game that Coppin played this week. So they had a Wednesday game, March 13th, against Lehigh University, who I don't think they faced last year. So do you want to give us a little bit of history going into this one, JJ? I know you already saw the stats.
Two wins, points.
Mm-hmm.
And 25 losses.
Yeah, and a longest losing streak within there of 17. And going into this, they had a 4-game losing streak as well, I believe. Now, it's kind of, we're trying to do the math in our head. I think these results were from after the game actually happened. So that's why I'm trying to take one off before we got there. All right, go ahead, tell us. This was at Walker Field in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So how did it go?
First inning, 1-0, Lehigh. Second inning, no, third inning, 1-1, tied. Fourth inning, 2-1, Lehigh. Fifth inning, 3-9, Lehigh.
So Coppin took the lead, actually, at 3-2, and then gave up 7 in the bottom of the inning. It's like classic Coppin game. Like, there tends to be a big number somewhere in there. But then also, top of the sixth is classic Coppin as well.
3-9 right now in the fifth. Then the next inning, it's 12-9.
Coppin put up 6 in the top. Lehigh finished out with 2 in the eighth inning. They didn't need a bat in the
ninth. Final score, 14-9.
Now, I don't know if you saw, and I didn't notice when I put when I first printed this out. Do you notice, well, obviously, the runs. Did you see the number of hits?
9 hits for Coppin. 6 hits for Lehigh. That's a lot of walks in.
That's a lot of walks in there. And no errors, so it's not because of errors, that's for sure. Yes, 14 runs on 6 hits. That's certainly unusual. Let me have a look at the Lehigh stats if you want to take a look on the Coppin State stats while I'm doing that, JJ. Only one hit for multiple people because it was only 6 in total. But 3 RBIs for Justin Butler, also Aiden Quinn, and 2 for Andrew Cole. Actually, 3 for Rafi Perich as well.
When I was thinking of ways they could possibly get so much with so little hits, it reminded me of a video where somebody got drilled in their first 9 at-bats. All in each at-bat.
Ouch.
And that's more than somebody who had 4,000.
You could advance on balks as well, but that wouldn't initially. Yeah. I guess if a walk and then if you were balk, that would get them advanced as well.
Oh, yeah.
The pitcher, as you don't want to tell anyone for Coppin State, I'll tell you the Coppin State pitchers then. Brandon Stevens was a starting pitcher, 3 innings, just 1 earned run. I don't recognize that name, actually. I'm not sure if that's one of the new players. I'm not sure if he's played in an earlier game. Jaden Hurd came in, 1 inning and 6 earned runs, unfortunately. Giovanni Canales, 1 inning and 2 earned runs. Jackson Montgomery took the loss with 2 innings and 3 earned runs. And Clay Thompson came in for the final inning and gave up 2 runs as well. Too many walks. I'm adding up there 20 walks in 8 innings. That's a lot. So Brandon gave up 6, Jaden gave up 4, Giovanni gave up 2, Jackson gave up 4, and Clay gave up 4. And if you look for Lehigh, 7. So, big difference. 20 free passes in a game. That's probably too many.
Brody had 2 runs.
Mm-hmm. On no hits. 2 runs and no hits.
Braylon had 2 runs, 3 hits, 5 at-bats.
Uh-huh. 3 for 5 is very good. Yeah. And Victor, Damon Gaither had 2 for 4 with 4 RBIs.
Victor had 3 hits. Damon, Chris, and Sam and Daniel all had 1 run, so they're all kind of spread out evenly, so that's good.
All right, and then the weekend season. I thought about starting to do this, JJ. This was an idea for me. Rather than, because you break down the game for us, I was wondering if I could break down the big inning of the game. So sometimes it'll be one that changes the game. This one didn't actually, it turned the game because it made it a tied game. It was Coppin's top of the sixth. So at the start of this inning, then, they were down 9-3. Black hit by a pitch. Moore hit by a pitch. Watson singled up the middle. DiVittorio flied out. That's the first out. Holm flied out. Damon Gaither homered to left field. I believe that's his 5th of the season now. 3 RBIs. So the bases were loaded, I believe. Not quite loaded. 2 people were on base for that. Marte walked. Nieves singled through right field. Pinch runner. And then Victor Alonghi singled to left field with an RBI there. Black walked. Thompson pinch hit. Thompson got hit by a pitch. And Nieves scored on that one. And then Braylon Watson grounded out to second to end that game. But yeah, so by the end of the inning, it was 9-9. End of that half inning, 9-9, 6 runs, 4 hits, no errors. Unfortunately, 3 people left on base. So bases were actually loaded, but couldn't drive in any more runs.
Damon Gaither should be there to hit home run.
Well, he already did earlier in the inning, so if he could, I don't know how close he was to batting for a second time in that inning, but kind of unfortunate. So that was the midweek game. Then we've got the weekend game, which was against Wagner, and I hadn't realized the name game. High Five Tom did get that it was Honus Wagner last week, and I said to you after,
why does High Five Tom always get it?
High Five Tom listens and he likes to play games, that's why. And he was, because you said to me, he was like, oh, you just said Wagner. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. I was just saying who Coppin was playing. That was not planned at all. If that looked like a deliberate connection, it wasn't. I just happened to pick Honus Wagner because it came up in a trivia question, and it just happened that Coppin were playing Wagner. Only 6 games in history for this one, JJ. So how have they done so far against Wagner?
Well, they played Hanover.
That's the location.
I know. Then they played in Hartford twice. Uh-huh. Then Hanover.
Hartford? Oh, Hartford Community College. Yeah. In Bel Air. Wonder why they're playing there. 2018. So they're 0-6.
Lost.
And they actually go chronologically, so backwards. So their first game they ever played, they lost 21-0. Some close games, though. 3-2 in 2018. 9-0. 4-2 last year as well. So
8-0.
Yeah, the series last year, Wagner got 20 runs and Coppin State had 5. So probably going to be a tough series. So how did game 1 play out on Friday, JJ? In Staten Island at SIUH Community Park.
First inning, 2-0 Wagner. Second inning, 2-1 Wagner. Third inning, 4-1 Wagner. Fourth inning, 5-1 Wagner, yeah. Then the fifth inning, 6-1 Wagner. Second inning, and the sixth inning, 8-1 Wagner. Then in the seventh, I need to do math. 14-1.
Well, there's got any more runs, so you can just look at the final total.
14-1. Then in the ninth, 14-8. Wagner.
And that'll be the big inning that I'll talk about from Coppin State. Yeah, 7 runs in the final inning, all too late, of course. 7 hits for Coppin, 10 for Wagner, 4 errors for Coppin on this one as well, unfortunately. So the top of the ninth, change of pitcher. Damon Gaither walked. I'm wondering if they were like straight away, like, yeah, we're not giving any runs out. Merciano struck out. Nieves reached on a fielder's choice. Gaither's out, though. Nieves advanced to second on a balk. Braylon Watson walked. I think it's Brett Griggs. Pinch hit for Angel. Braylon Watson advanced to second on a wild pitch. Nieves advanced to third. Griggs walked. Asensio walked. Moore walked. New pitcher came in. Divitorio hit by pitch. Holb walked. Oh my gosh. Gaither came in. Doubled to right center. 3 RBIs. Holm scored. Divitorio scored. And Daniel Morse all scored. And the inning ended by Merciano. Noah. Grabbed that to second base. So I started the inning at 14-1. And it finished 14-8. 7 runs. Just 1 hit. Because you heard me say walk, hit by pitch, balk, things like that. And just 1 person was left on base. Now, I had to look up, because when I'm looking at my scores, it gives the last name and the first letter. So I was like, it is Braylon, right? I was trying to look. So I looked it up. As I was looking up Braylon, he's actually from Frisco, which is in Texas. And that's interesting because I'm trying to plan our trip. We're actually going through Frisco. That's the place that has the lazy river, the Frisco Rough Riders. Which unfortunately not going to be in town when we're there. But no, that's where
Why don't we just go later or earlier?
We can't. It's like 5 days early and 5 days later. Yeah, well then you'd miss the College World Series if we go 5 days earlier.
Oh.
So that'd be kind of pointless. But I'm not hanging around another 5 days just for one stadium.
I want to go there sometime.
Me too. We were supposed to go in 2020 because that's where my friend's from. That's where she lives, and her son has the same birthday as you. So, yeah, we were planning on going there in 2020, but it didn't happen. I haven't reached out this year and told them that we're going, actually. Well, we won't be seeing the Frisco game now, that's for sure. But they might be. Hopefully, if they're in town, they might be able to come and see the Rangers game with us. The Rangers are in town. I think they're playing Kansas City. That's one of my stadiums I haven't been to yet. So,
wait, where is... Wait, who's going to do the Kansas game? And then who's in the St. Louis game?
I don't know. The Kansas the game in Kansas City is New York. It's the Yankees.
Let's go, Yankees.
I don't remember who's at the St. Louis game. But no, anyway, so I looked it up. It told a few more things. It's called Riders Field. Opened in 2003. It's considered one of the best major ballparks in the minor league baseball. Absolutely. 2015, the ballpark received a new HD video board, upgraded sound system, revamped team store, an edition of the Bull Moose Saloon, along with other enhancements. A year later, the world-famous Lazy River was installed in the park, drawing rave reviews from all over. It said that the Sunday, there was a flash sale, $25 Sunday tickets, but you could go around the Lazy River while the game's going. I'm like, I know, it's amazing, but...
How much is it to go on
it? I don't know normally, but that was what I saw. I just happened to see that on the flash sale. All right, you've had plenty of time to look at the stats then. Do you want me to do Wagner's first?
Yeah.
Josiah Ross had two hits. Albert Serrano had two hits, but it was pretty much evenly distributed.
Look at the runs.
There was three runs, three RBIs from Xavier Ulrich who came in to punch hit. All right. What about from Coppin? Any figures stand out?
Anthony, Kai, Chris, Sam, Braylon, Brett, Jaden, and Daniel all had one run.
Okay, so you could have said the runs were spread out, sure. All right, Damon had three RBIs. Anthony and Damon both had two hits as well, but there was only there wasn't that many hits in total. So, starting pitcher was Nico Felber, 4.1 innings, three earned runs. There were six runs, but you heard me say there were some errors in there. Five bases on balls. That's unlike Nico. He's normally a little more in control than that. Liam McCollum came in, 1.2 innings. Two earned runs and two strikeouts. Justin Ritz, one inning, six earned runs, unfortunately. That's when it kind of got away from Coppin. And then Michael Matthews came in for the last inning. One inning, no earned runs, one walk, and no hits. No hits.
Right here. This stat. He had three runs.
Well, I already mentioned he had two hits, so yeah.
Well, he had three runs.
He did.
How did that happen?
Because he got a walk. If you get walked, it doesn't count as an official at-bat, so that's a little bit different. All right, so that was Friday's game. What about Saturday's game? Oh, I should have mentioned, the attendance was only 55, and I told you, that stadium is amazing. It used to, the Staten Island Yankees used to play there. Mason and I saw it when we went to Staten Island. We're hoping to see that stadium when we go during spring break, but we won't be able to see a game in it, unfortunately. And, you get views of Manhattan. 55 people, it was a nice day, from what I can remember as well. But, hey, well, I'm looking on the Saturdays, it says 67 and overcast, and it said 55 again. So, man, what an amazing place to see a game. I can't believe more people don't go and see that. All right, tell us about this one then, JJ.
Okay, second inning, 3-1 Wagner. Fourth inning, 6-1 Wagner. Fifth inning, 7-1 Wagner. Sixth inning, it was 7-3 Wagner. Uh-huh. Then in the eighth inning, it was 9-3 Wagner.
That's the final.
Yep.
Only five hits for Coppin, 13 for Wagner. Two errors by Wagner. Starting pitcher for Coppin State was Alec Elgus, who took the loss. He's 0-2 now. Five innings, seven earned runs, four strikeouts. John Neal came in, 2.1 innings, just two hits, two earned runs. And Clay Thompson closed out, 0.2 innings, no hits and no earned runs. Key figures from Wagner, Josiah Ross again, JJ, 3-5 with two runs. He seems to be pretty good. And Diego Tavares, who was the DH, had three hits as well. Besides that, it's mainly ones and twos. Definitely a standout figure for Coppin, I would think, in this one, though. You weren't
Sam,
looking, though.
Sam had two, Daniel had one.
Sam had three hits. Oh, you're just going runs. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Sam had 3 out of the 5 hits. He had more than
runs are the best.
He had more than, well, that relies on the people behind you getting hits though as well. So if you get an actual hit, then you give him the chance to get some runs on this. Sam's actually on a really hot streak. So at the end of this match, he was 11 for 22 with a home run in a 5-game stretch. The second game at Merrimack last weekend, he went 3 for 4. The third game in the series, he went 3 for 5. Lehigh, he went 1 for 4. The first game, he went 1 for 4. And then he went 3 for 5 in this one. So, yeah, he's batting 500 at this point for the last 5 games. I did look when I saw Sam scored a home run. I was like, I don't think I've seen Sam score a home run before. I was wrong. We were there. Sam homered and drove in 3 and scored 3 times while drawing 2 walks at VMI on March 5th. So, we actually missed the part of one of those games because we were watching the...
Is it at the start?
I don't know. I just suddenly thought, I wonder if that's part that we missed. But yeah, so that was Sam's second home run for Coppin State. I did look that one up because I wasn't sure. The big inning was the top of the 6th. So going into this one, it was 7-1 Wagner. Sam Nieves homered to left field, RBI. Daniel Moore walked. Angel walked. New pitcher. Price walked. Asensio came in and pinch hit, struck out swinging. Di Vittorio reached on a fielder's choice, but that means there's an out. And Kai Holm struck out swinging. So it went from 7-1 to 7-3. So it was a big inning, but it was only 2 runs, unfortunately, this time. 2 runs, 1 hit, and yeah, not a lot to talk about in that one. So much so, JJ, I do not have the third game for you. I do not want to talk about the Sunday game. It's too painful. No, I didn't print it out. I will tell you the score. Final score, Wagner 17, Coppin 3. That's like a football score. There was a lot of football scores this weekend.
What about the 21-0?
There was one football. There was one this weekend. It was like 33-10 or something. It's like somebody posted, this looks more like football than baseball.
I remember Freedom Colgan last year. They were like a bunch up by the half. It was like 100-something-to-something.
In baseball?
No, in football.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, they were pretty high.
Since we're talking about football,
so they were pretty high. Yeah, I don't think it was quite 100, but yeah, they were getting scores in the 60s and 70s on a fairly regular basis. The thing I did want to talk about in this one, though, was Kai had 3 hits and Sam had 2 hits. And the thing that I hadn't noticed as I was looking through, and I don't think you noticed either, Sam Nieves is playing center field right now.
Huh?
Yeah, I think of him more of a catcher.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say, you definitely keeping him in with those. He has the highest batting average on the team right now, I believe.
Yeah.
Just because of that recent average. But yeah, he's been playing regularly, and it said that Black has been playing left field. So yeah, you rotate people around. But
Brody could play pretty much any outfield spot.
Brody could play any of those outfield spots, and if Sam's not a natural outfielder, as he's more of a catcher, it might just be if Sam was out. Like, what's your preference? And I'll be like, center. I don't know. But yeah, I did know that was something I hadn't noticed when I was looking at the games last week. But it's something that came through. All right, college. I'm sure you'd probably like to talk about how UNC did not win the ACC championship, losing to NC State. But we're going to do a little update on college baseball. So when we last talked, Wake Forest had been number one since the start of the season. That's not true anymore. So I picked out a few of the top ones that were significant. So do you want to tell us who number one is now?
Arkansas. Number 5 is Tennessee.
Oh, whoa. Tell us a little bit about Arkansas as well. This is from NCAA.com. I should say that. So when it says, I moved Arkansas into the top spot, and that's not you, that's the writer of the piece, okay?
Says LW2.
Okay, do you know what LW is?
No.
Last week. So they moved from number 2 to number 1.
Okay. Arkansas moved into the top spot. The Razorbacks swept McNeese.
I haven't heard of McNeese. I don't know. You definitely said it correct. I've never heard of McNeese.
Over the weekend, and are third in the nation in ERA. Hagen Smith leads the country in strikeouts per 9 innings.
Now, I think that was the person we mentioned who had 6 innings and 17 strikeouts. So, yeah, I'm not surprised he's leading the country with those types of figures. All right, who else we got?
Number 5, Tennessee. Last week they were 8. Mm-hmm. Now they're 5.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee exploded for a 24-1 win of... They only had one? The other team only had one?
Yep.
Free throw. Win over Illinois this past week.
Do you know what the Vols are?
No.
It's the Volunteers.
Oh.
The Tennessee Volunteers.
The Volunteers offense continues to show up. They also had a 15-5 win over Kansas State, which included 6 home runs.
Now, the reason I included this one was for the next statement, because I remember talking about this last year. Tell us about Dean Curley.
Dean Curley hit 3 of those homers to almost complete a home run cycle.
Can you remember what a home run cycle is?
Yeah, it's to left, to center, then to right.
I'm shaking my head for the benefit of the tape.
Huh?
Solo homer,
Two-run
homer, 3-run homer, grand slam. Like, just to get 4 home runs in a game is ridiculous.
And then also you get the double, triples, and then singles.
Well, that's just the cycle. The home run cycle is super rare.
But if you get the cycle and home run cycle?
Well, you'd have to have 8 at-bats, which would be kind of a lot.
What if it's a bunch of innings, though?
Well, I guess 7, because you could have the home run as part of your home run cycle as well. That one could link in there. But yeah, crazy. I've not thought about that home run cycle since, and apparently it nearly happened. All right, tell us about number 6.
Duke.
I know you like Duke, only because I like UNC, but...
They were not rated last week.
They were not ranked.
Oh. Hello, Duke. The Blue Devils. They're the Blue Devils.
That's a nickname, yeah.
Made a...
Can you visualize their logo? I guess not. It's got Blue Devil on it.
All I can see is a D. I don't know.
I guess that's true as well, yeah.
The Blue Devils made a huge jump after the big series win over previously number 1 Wake Forest. I don't think there are any question marks when it comes to this offense after they got the best of the strongest weekend rotations in the country in 2 out of 3 games. Ben Miller, AJ Garcia, and Zach Morris were hot at the plate. This offense can go toe-to-toe with anyone in the country.
So, yeah, two big wins in a big North Carolina rivalry. I'll do number 7 because that's Wake Forest, who were last week's number 1. So it says this feels like a big drop. But since Duke is an incredible team with a really potent offense, the hyped-up pitchers duel on Friday turned into an offensive show. Chase Burns did show out on Saturday, though, fanning a career-high 14 of the 22 batters he faced. But the Deacons lost again on Sunday, falling behind 9-2 early in a 10-8 defeat. It's just hard to put them above Duke and other undefeated or one-loss teams. So, yeah, we're still only about a month into the season. So if you're having 2 losses, and I know Wake Forest lost earlier because we talked about that, so they already have 3 losses. So, yeah, that was one of the reasons they dropped quite as much as they did. All right, name game time.
All right.
So I think you have one this time, I think you said. I have one too. All right. Which, mine's kind of funny because it came up as we were traveling in the car today a little bit.
Right.
And I said, I hope you remember this for when we record later.
G. Cruz Michael S.
G. Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, you did not like that. Well, because Cruz is definitely like a Spanish name. And then that was G.S. Giancarlo Stanton just came straight out to me. You said you picked somebody famous as well. You said you did like a random generator or something? Yeah. But you made sure it was somebody.
I made sure that you could know it.
Of course.
Just put 10.
Okay.
It said number of players and I put 10.
Okay. Well, that's good though. I got one. Well, mine was over pretty quick. All right. Yours might last a little bit longer. Yours is J. Burt T.
JT, are those his real initials?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And I have some clues to go along with it, and
then I
have some
clue?
Facts. All right, clue number 1. Born on July 27th, 1880. Died on July 27th, 1948. Died on his birthday. So obviously an old player.
I know.
Do you remember what we were talking about in the car earlier? So one of the trivia questions we had this week was, which team in MLB history has the most players in the Hall of Fame. I assumed it was the Yankees, and I was shocked when it wasn't.
I didn't.
You guessed the Yankees, and it wasn't. And I saw the answer, so I couldn't really play the game. You didn't get it. So we asked Mason today, and he didn't get it either. And yeah, I think I might edit out your first mention so I can actually put this one in if people want to think about it. But yeah, it's the...
Hey, don't look it up.
It's the Giants.
Yeah.
Obviously, they were the New York Giants, and they had people like Christy Mathewson right at the start of the... So Mason's first guess was Chicago. He said Chicago Cubs, and I said, that's a pretty good guess.
Didn't he say Yankees?
He said Yankees first. And but no, he said the Cubs, and I said, oh, well, that's good, because that'll help you with something we're going to talk about today. So clue number two, he played alongside Mordecai Centennial Brown, or Three-Finger Brown of the Chicago Cubs. So it's a super old player.
I'm trying to think of old Cubs players.
I might have to give you the third clue.
Yeah.
He appears in the famous poem, Baseball's Sad Lexicon. It's alongside Johnny Evers and Frank Chance. Something to Evers to Chance. It's the most famous double play combination in history. JT. You're going to tell me you probably don't know then, I guess.
I do. I'm just trying to think. Johnny?
Nope.
John?
No. I think I'm going to have to tell you. It's Joseph Burt Tinker. Joe Tinker. Tinker to Evers to Chance. That's the baseball sad lexicon. Anyway, few facts for him. Started his professional career at the age of 19 in 1900s. This is from Wikipedia. Oh, and actually, this is from the Hall of Fame website. Was in the majors 2 years later and regular at 21. His speed and his sure hands were the first thing scouts noted. And while he never batted for much, 262 lifetime with 31 homers. Whoa, hold on, time out. 31 homers in like the early 1900s? I'm like, I know Babe Ruth hit 29 in one season, but there were certain times when whole teams didn't hit as many home runs as Babe Ruth hit, so I don't know. I thought that 31 didn't sound that bad for that era, to be honest. From 1906 to 1910, the Cubs averaged 106 wins a year, but you only used to play 154 games then as well. So it's unusual to get 100 wins now. They used to play 8 games left. In Tinker's 5th season, the Cubs won the National League pennant, followed by the World Championship in 1907 and 1908. His career defensive WAR, do you know what that one is? WAR? No, you don't. Wins above replacement. So basically, how many extra wins do you get for having this player than an average player from that era? 34.3 ranks 5th all-time, and there's some big names coming up now, JJ, behind Ozzie Smith, Mark Bellinger, Brooks Robinson, and Cal Ripken Jr.
I know Brooks Robinson and Cal Ripken Jr. Don't know the other people.
You don't know Ozzie Smith? No. You don't know the Wizard of Oz? Well, it's a good job we're going to St. Louis this year.
I know
year,
the
man.
Wizard of Oz.
Well, that's his nickname. I'm not talking about... He's not like a Tin Man or something. That was his nickname, the Wizard of Oz.
Is he a scarecrow?
No, he was a wizard on the baseball field. That's why he was called the Wizard of Oz.
So he could make the ball float to his glove?
All right, we're going to have to show you some Ozzie Smith plays then, since you don't know who Ozzie Smith is. I think Ozzie Smith made the Hall of Fame one of my first years I was in the States, I think. I didn't know who he was at the time, so that might be why he resonates more with me. All right, in case anyone besides High Five Tom wants to play along, Jackson, if you know the answer, you can't say anything, okay? E, there is no middle name. B. So it's just the initials EB. Shall I give a couple of clues? That probably needs something, right, to narrow it down a little bit. He began playing professional baseball in 1950 with the Kansas City Monarchs in the Negro Leagues. And we just talked about we're going to go to Kansas City and see the Negro League Hall of Fame as well. So that'll be kind of cool. He served in the U.S. military for 2 years, played for the Monarchs again, and began his National League career in September 1953. He was named to the Major League Baseball All-Century team in 1999. So he's obviously very good. And if you were to Google the All-Century team, you could obviously figure out who it was. E.B. Alright, well, I don't think Jackson knows, so we'll see if High Five Tom or anybody else knows. If you know, hit us up in the DMs, let us know, and we'll give you a shout out next week. Outro music. Oh, you can't. You don't have anything.
That is me.